Now, as we come to God's precious word, we will look to the Lord, that the Lord will be very mindful of us and be gracious to us, revealing himself beyond the sacred page. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the one whose name is called Wonderful. Lord, thou art our wonderful Lord, our wonderful Savior, the one who has supplied in such a marvelous way all our destitution, has met us at the very point of our need, so that we are complete in thee. And we pray that we might experience more of thy fullness. O Lord, that thou wilt come and minister to us from the sacred page the things concerning thyself. So may the words of our lips, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it in the Savior's lovely name. Amen. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and in verse 3, the bride, the type of the believer, she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The Lord, who is all glorious, his personal excellencies baffle and defy the powers of description. To the bride, who is a type of the Christian, the Lord is many things. He is her shepherd. His name is as ointment poured forth. He is as spikenard, as a bundle of myrrh, as a cluster of camphire. And here in the text, she refers to the Lord, her beloved, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. All that the apple tree is to the weary traveler, so Christ is, and more besides, to the bride. The apple tree provided a welcome shade, pleasant and refreshing fruit. There was everything in this tree to supply the need. And so it is a fitting emblem, word picture, of the Lord who is all to be desired. As we sit where the bride sat, may our hearts be drawn afresh to the Lord Jesus. May we see anew the benefits, the blessings that are ours in him. May our souls be wrought up in new longings and desires for himself. As we come to this text, we notice four things. First of all, the comparison made. The bride looks around the trees of the wood, and she makes a comparison between them and the apple tree. No doubt there are many impressive specimens for the eye to behold, but for her, in her reckoning, the apple tree outshines all the rest. There may be the majestic oak and the tall cedar trees, but what use are they until they are cut down? This apple tree with its green foliage, its white blossoms, its delicious fruit, it outshines them all. Having made that comparison, the bride lifts her thoughts in the text unto a higher level when she declares, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. The Lord has just indicated to her in verse 2 that she is as the lily among thorns. Thorns are worthless and useless. Their end is to be burned. The redeemed are as lilies among them. Clothed with salvation, there's a glory and a comeliness about the redeemed as there is about the lily, even though it's among thorns. We think of the teaching of the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 27 through to 29. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, and the idea is anxious thought. Oh, we do need to take thought about our daily lives, what we eat, make wise choices as to the food that we eat and so forth. But the verse goes on, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. As the lily excels thorns, so does the Lord excel the sons, all the sons of God, whether they be angels or men. A glory was possessed by Christ that was never known even among angels. In Hebrews 1 and verse 4, we are taught that the Lord was made so much better than the angels. There can be no comparison between the Lord in his glory and the angels. And the Lord is fairer. Psalm 45 and verse 2 teaches us. Psalm 45 and verse 2 teaches us that the Lord is fairer than the children of men. He is the firstborn among many brethren. Among men, there were priests like Aaron, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the great high priest of our profession. Among men, there were kings like Solomon, but the Lord Jesus is the King of all kings. And then Psalm 89 and the verse 6, the psalmist asks, who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? He's thinking of the cherubims, the angelic beings, the seraphims. Who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? The psalmist saw them all subservient to Jehovah. The one who is the mighty God, they are his ministering spirits, the angels. do his will. None of them can be likened to the Lord. What son among men is comparable to the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth? There is none like Christ. As the bride says, he is the chiefest among 10,000. He is precious to the bride. What does the Lord mean to you this morning? You may overvalue many things, think them more precious than they are. You may imagine that you could not do without those things. You cannot overvalue the Son of God. He is the pearl of great price. So great is his worth that men ought to part with everything in order to possess him. Asaph, he said in Psalm 73 and verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. The Lord is all to be desired. No wonder in the Song of Solomon 3 and verse 4, the bride said, I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. Fairest of all the earth beside, we were singing. Chiefest of all unto thy bride. Fullness divine in thee I see. Wonderful man of Calvary. The comparison. But notice secondly in this text, the communion. For the bride says in verse 3 that his fruit was sweet to my taste. What is happening? She is communing with the Lord. She is feeding on Christ, supping with him. The fruit of the apple tree was fragrant, it was sweet, it was refreshing, and so is the fruit from the tree of gospel life. The Lord is the tree of life to all that receive him by faith. And that tree of life bears all manner of fruit. If you would know what it is to be strengthened by him, with strength in your soul, you must feed on him. In the words of John 6 and verse 57, the Lord says, he that eateth me, or he that feedeth on me, even he shall live by me. We know that the branches of the tree, they live by the roots. We know that the members of our physical frames, these bodies of ours, they live by the head. And so the spiritual man lives by Christ, by feeding on him. His fruit is sweet to the believer's taste. In saving grace, you have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. In Christ you have the sweet fruit of gospel peace, of pardon to feed on, the fruit of regeneration, justification, adoption, sanctification, and all the blessings of the covenant of grace to feed on. We hear the Lord say, as we sit under the shadow of Calvary's tree, eat, O friend, drink, yea, drink abundantly. The promises of the Lord, every one of them exceeding great and precious. How sweet, how desirable they are to the believer's palate. No wonder Paul in Romans 7 and verse 22 says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. His innermost being delights in the law of the Lord. Jeremiah the prophet in chapter 15 and verse 16, he speaks of his delight in the word. The verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Oh, how he delighted in the scriptures of truth. And there's the preaching of the word and the table of remembrance, the love feast of the church. The bride tells us here in chapter 1 and verse 12, the king sitteth at his table. And how true that is of the Lord and his table. When the table is spread in remembrance, the Lord is the chief guest. Horatius Bonner, he said of the Lord's table, this is the hour of banquet and of song. This is the heavenly table spread for me. Here let me feast, and feasting still prolong, the brief bright hour of fellowship with thee. Here would I feed upon the bread of God, here drink with thee the royal wine of heaven. Here would I lay aside each earthly load, here taste afresh the calm of sins forgiven. The quest of the bride for communion with the one whom her soul loved is expressed fervently in chapter 1 and verse 7 when she says, O thou whom my soul loveth, tell me where thou feedest, thy flock, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Oh, there were numerous flocks and numerous shepherds, but they could not take the place of the chief shepherd in her heart. She must sup with him. Oh, to be consumed with such a desire, so that our souls are fat and flourishing. The communion, she sat under his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to her taste. And notice, thirdly, the comfort. She says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And look at the protection here. The bride appreciated the shade that the thick foliage of the apple tree provided for her. She had been burnt by the sun. Notice in chapter 1 and verse 6, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. She knew what the burning rays of the sun meant. How welcome then was the protection given by the apple tree. And when we were without Christ, we were exposed to the terror of the broken law. We were like David when in Psalm 32, under the burden of his sin and the sense of its guilt, he said in Psalm 32 and verse 3, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." The sense of his sin in his heart was akin to the breaking of his bones. "Day and night," he says, "thy hand," God's hand, "was heavy upon me." He was a man under conviction of his sin. And we were under the curse, due to be consumed by God's righteous anger. But under the shadow of Calvary's tree, we have found protection. Romans 8 and verse 1 spells it out. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Romans 5 and verse 9. "Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Oh, what protection from the wrath to come is found under the shadow of Calvary's cross. And when worn down by the trials and the troubles of life, as David often was, we can find protection under the shadow of the Almighty. This was David's prayer in Psalm 17 and verses 8 and 9. "Keep me as the apple of the eye." And how quickly we protect our eyes in the time of danger. There's an instant reaction. "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about." Oh, think of the situation that David found himself in. But he wasn't as an orphan without a father's protection. He knew the shadow of the Almighty. As we read in Psalm 36 and verse 7, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." So we see the protection here. We also see the posture, for she says, "I sat down under his shadow." It's not enough for her to pass by this shadow. She sits down under it. And often our strength, spiritually speaking, is to sit still. Remember Psalm 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." The Lord said to the disciples in Mark 6 and verse 31, "To come aside, to come apart for a while." They were to come into his presence and, like Mary, to be sitting at his feet. Oh, may that be our posture. May we know what it is to sit under the shadow of our Lord's presence. But look then at the pleasure. For she says, "I sat down under his shadow with great delight." Salvation, knowing the Lord is your Savior, it's not a dismal, gloomy experience. It's a delightful experience. In Northern Ireland, where I come from, in a past day, we had a great evangelist called W.P. Nicholson. and his ministry was greatly used. And he often told the story of the boy who lived with his religious grandparents. Those grandparents were religious. They had just enough religion to make them miserable. They had no experience of salvation. They had no joy or delight in their hearts. They had just an empty religion. And Sundays were especially dreary. And so one day, the boy went out of the house, and he was met by the dog. The dog jumped up and down and started to bark furiously. The boy quietened the dog down and said to it, "Now, you stop that. You're not a good Christian, or you wouldn't be carrying on like that on a Sunday." Then the boy went to see the donkey in the stable, and it stood there with its long face. And stroking the donkey, the boy said, "You're a good Christian. You have a long face just like Granda." That was the impression that the lad got about Christianity. That to be a Christian, you must ever be so sour, as miserable as possible. Not at all. The Lord fills the hearts of his people with all joy and peace through believing. What did the Lord say to the palsied man? In Matthew 9 and verse 2, "Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. May you and I have an infectious joy that will touch the hearts of those living in the misery of a godless existence. And the last thought from this text is the commendation that is written over it. The bride came to this apple tree in the wood with a twofold need. As we have said, the sun was hot. She was scorched by it. And she found here a welcome shade. And furthermore, she was faint. She was weak, and the fruit of the tree refreshed her. And can't you see how she speaks commending her beloved, her Savior to all? Her voice still speaks. It speaks to all in this service today who have never been to the cross, who have never sought the Lord or received his so great salvation. From the tree of the cross flows the blessing of pardon and peace with God. From Christ, from his wounds, we receive by faith eternal life, so that our souls will never perish. So along with the bride, I join her in commending my Savior to you today. Flee to him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Save you from the guilt and the power of your sins. He will save you now. Oh, may you taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is that man, that woman, that young person, that boy or girl that makes the Lord their trust. May you find in your own experience that it is a blessed thing to have sins forgiven, to have peace with God through the blood shed so freely on Calvary's tree. The Lord Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May you not rest until you rest in the work of the cross. May Christ be your Savior and the Lord of your life. We'll bow together in prayer, please. Our eternal God, our gracious Father, how we thank Thee for the one who was daily the Father's delight. And O Lord, we pray that more and more Thou wilt be our chief joy. We have been thinking of this one in the Song of Solomon, who sat under Thy shadow with great delight. She received all her needs met and supplied under Thy shadow. And we pray that our daily lives will be lived out near to Thee. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Bring its sins before me. Oh, we pray that Thou wilt help us to walk under Thy shadow day by day. Pray, O God, that these souls of ours will not be lean, but fat and flourishing, having fed upon the One who is the bread of life. O Lord, help us to feed our souls constantly on Thee. And we pray, O God, that others will see what a wonderful Savior the Lord Jesus is, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Oh, bring others from the burden of their sin. May they lose that burden and go on their way rejoicing in Thy so great salvation. Part us in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing, we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.